When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Scottish Sun Sports Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. With me is Colin Duncan. I think the best place to start, Colin, is the Betfred Cup final on Sunday, Aberdeen Celtic at Hampden. It's got the makings of a cracker.
As you say, cracking game, probably two best teams in the country at the moment, Derek. Also, I think it's a welcome return to its old slot at this time of the year, I think, you know.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is excellent. You know, they had to wait, you know, as they play the semi-final, wait till March for the final. I don't think it really suited anybody, players, fans, managers. So the fact that we've, you know, condensed the competition in at the first few months of the season, I think, is good. You know, going back to the old Skull Cup days, we used to have the final at this time of year, so it brings back a lot of memories for some of the older fans. Yep. So yeah, not really thoroughly looking forward to the game on Sunday at Hampden.
Just before we actually discuss the actual game, the competition with the revised format, do you think it's worked? Do you think it's breathed new life into the competition?
Yeah, well, with the group format, obviously at the start of the season, certain teams liked it, some didn't, you know, because it was coming too early for them and they hadn't quite hit their stride, but
We certainly
needed to do something to revamp the competition. You know, it was a bit tired and staid. So, yeah, I think the group sections worked. I think the fact we've had all the knockout games coming thick and fast, we've got a final before Christmas to look forward to. Yeah, no, I think Betfred have done a good job.
I mean, I think out with an Old Firm final for the sponsors, Aberdeen Celtic is it. That is a cracking game for them. In every respect, profile and potential entertainment factor.
Well, the sponsors have won a watch. They also had the Rangers Celtic, you know, match in the semi-final, which is a bonus. Now they've got Aberdeen Celtic, as I mentioned earlier, probably two strongest teams in the top flight. It should, you know, if it lives up to expectations, we should get a cracker.
I must admit, as we get closer to this game, Colin, more and more I think Aberdeen have a real chance of winning this game. Is that something you would agree with, or do you see Celtic as overwhelming favourites here?
I mean, well, Celtic are the clear favourites. You know, they've already beaten Aberdeen twice so far this season, and I think Aberdeen are about 5-1 outsiders, which is a huge price over 90 minutes. It's actually up in Aberdeen earlier in the week, Derek, speaking to the manager and a few of the players, and the one thing that really, really struck me when I was up there chatting was very, very, the confidence, the air of confidence the players really, really took me aback. You know, they really, really genuinely believe that you know, that this Aberdeen, this is their time. You know, they beat Inverness a couple of seasons ago, but you know, if they could really, really put a marker down, if they went and beat Celtic in a major final, and the vibes coming out of Pittodrie were extremely positive.
I mean, cocky, bullish, or just a kind of a quiet confidence?
It's just a quiet air of confidence and calm, a real sense of belief. They really had a purpose about them. You know, they weren't swagging about, you know, very unarrogant, but they, you know, you generally got the feeling that they believe. You know, when you're asking them questions, you know, how do you think you're going on? It says, you know, some of the answers like, when we win the cup, you know, when we go to lift the trophy, not if.
That's,
you know,
good.
What you want to, you know, if you're a manager or if you're part of that team, you know, that's what you want from your players. Because I think if we go back a few years, that was the one thing that Aberdeen lacked. You know, the one thing you could level at them was whether they had the mental toughness and the resilience to get themselves over the finishing line.
It's good to hear that, because, yeah, of course, you have to respect Celtic, and, you know, they are the favourites, but you don't want a sense of opposing teams being, you know, beaten before a ball's kicked. You know, that's good to hear that, Colin.
Yeah, I think it also plays into their hands. You know, the last time they played Inverness, they were the overwhelming favourites. All the pressure was on Aberdeen. It was almost 20 years since they last won a trophy, and you could probably see that in their performance. You know, they finally got there. They managed to win on penalties, but it was by no means a vintage Aberdeen performance in that day. And I think you could see the pressure got to them a little bit. This time, all the focus, most of the focus, has been on Brendan Rodgers' side. They're unbeaten domestically. You know, everybody's expecting them to go and win. That suits Aberdeen.
I mean, among many things that Derek McInnes has done at Pittodrie in his tenure there, is one of the biggest things, if not the biggest, is changing the mentality, is instilling that belief. I mean, I think the last couple of years he's beaten Celtic 3 or 4 times. Which in itself is impressive, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but they've finished best of the rest in the league behind Celtic. I think they beat them twice last season, if I'm right in saying, up at Pittodrie.
Yep.
And even the games, you know, that they lost this season, I think even Derek changed it up a bit, tried a few different things with team selection and tactics. I think they have learned from the first two games, you know, that against Celtic this season, albeit they didn't win them. I think they have learned and they probably realise what they have to do on Sunday if they have to come out on top.
Colin, you've known Derek McInnes for a long time. You know him as well as anyone in our business. How impressed have you been with his development as a manager in the last 2-3 years?
I mean, I think even when you go back to when he worked at St Johnstone, you know, he was just a terrific manager. Very, very thorough, very professional in everything he did. You know, he'd leave no stone unturned. Very similar to Brendan Rodgers in many ways. You know, they like to surround themselves with the right people. They like to have the right vibe, the right mentality around the club. You know, the whole club, not just the playing staff. You know, they like to surround themselves with positive people. You know, I think he did a terrific job at St Johnstone. He got a cracking move to Bristol City. But just I think it was just the wrong time that he went there. I don't think it would have mattered who went to Bristol City that time. They were just... You know, they were going through a whole rebuilding process. You know, they had to cut the wage bill. It was a time before they got all that new investment in a new stadium. And he was really struggling. You know, he was firefighting. He managed to keep them afloat, avoid relegation the first season. And then I think he was a bit unfortunate to get his jotters in the second season. So, I mean, you know, you get a bit tarnished. You know, managers, things don't work out. People suddenly forget about you. But he's come back to Aberdeen and he's proved just how good he is. Because, you know, before he came... Aberdeen always, you know, flattered to deceive. They just couldn't quite get there. And Derek, as I say, he's changed the whole mentality of that club.
I mean, he wouldn't have exactly felt it amid his bitter disappointment at being sacked. But see that episode at Bristol City, you know, on reflection, is that something that could actually have ended up proving the making of him as a manager? Because you can only see him getting better and better.
Well, I think
that disappointment.
I think if you ask any manager, they probably learn more from the things that go wrong, you know, and their disappointments, you know, and when their clubs that are countries that they go to and it doesn't work out, you know, it gives you that period of reflection. You can look back, I'm sure, and Derek has said, you know, that he learned lessons from that time. He should have get rid of some of the more senior players a lot more quicker, you know, just different things he should have done that have stood him in good stead when he got the Aberdeen job. He realised what he had to do when he walked into Pittodrie, because there was plenty wrong. You know, a big, big club, but, you know, it hadn't been a force for a long, long time. And he assessed what needed done and he set about doing it as quickly as possibly.
Did you anticipate him being as successful so quickly? Or did you think, you know, it might have taken a wee bit longer?
No, because, I mean, he had the success he had at St John, you know, he got them on the right footing pretty quickly. I just think it was the wrong club at the wrong time. And as I said, I don't think it would have mattered who took up the reins at Bristol City back then. It wasn't going to work out. You know, they were a club heading in the wrong direction. You know, we've seen it before with likes of Wiggins and Boltons and things like that, and Leeds. Once you hit that slide, it doesn't matter. You know, it's very, very hard to get back, you know, to reverse it, unless a new owner or new money is pumped into the club, and that's what happened at Ashton Gate.
I mean, of course, it's St Johnstone. I mean, they had a number of semi-final defeats. But of course, he also had a big victory over Celtic at Parkhead, Neil Lennon Celtic. So, you know, that result and since with Aberdeen, in the League Cup final success against Inverness, he can be a manager that can win on the big occasion.
You know, you can look at things two ways. Everybody looked at St Johnstone, they got to so many semi-finals and never managed to reach a final. But the fact, you know, that they were a championship club or first division club back then and he was getting all these major semi-finals, you know, people, you should be looking at it in the positive and
in itself, that's tremendous.
And accentuating that and, like, you know, what a great job he's doing. You know, he's finishing up near the top of the table. He did get them promotion. He's getting to the last four of major competitions. You know, so you can look at things two ways. And at Aberdeen, the consistency in the league has been the kind of main factor, the main thing that he's managed to stabilise Aberdeen and get them finishing behind Celtic last two seasons. Looks as if they're on course to probably make it, you know, three in a row. I don't think anybody will catch lay a glove in Celtic when it comes to the Premiership. Cup competitions have beat Inverness. The disappointing cup runs last season, they weren't able to build in that. I think they sat down and had a meeting at the start of this season and said, you know, the one thing, as well as having a sustained league challenge, we want to reach both cup finals. That is our main aim, as well as finishing as high in the league as possible. and they've been as good as they were so far. You know, they've reached the first final of the season.
I think his signings have been, you know, by and large astute. You know, the goalkeeper Joe Lewis, terrific, can win you a match as well as keep you in a game. You know, he's strengthened up top. You know, they've got James Maddison, terrific signing. The last time they played Celtic, amazingly, he you know, it was a real shock. He put Rooney and Maddison on the bench. Can you see that happening on Sunday?
No, I don't think they'll be both on the bench on Sunday. I think he tried to get more pace in the team the last time they played Celtic. Tried to really get in about them and worry them with their pace. And then I think the plan was maybe to bring Maddison on when the game opened up and try and expose him, you know, with his vision and his creativity. Didn't quite turn out that, you know, Celtic got the first goal and the whole dynamic of the game changed. He had to have a rethink. So I think that was the thinking behind having Maddison on the bench. And, you know, I think it was Wes Burns that went up front, you know, just a bit more mobility, a bit more pace in the final third. You know, you can see where he was coming from. But
was he being too clever about it, Colin?
Yeah, he might be, or he might be just, he was maybe using that game to try and feel out Celtic, you know, just suss them out, let's see what we need to do, you know, if we get them in the final, you know, have a wee look, try a couple of things. Well, that didn't work, we can revert back to plan A. But I think I would certainly have Matt. I think he's a man for a big occasion, despite his tender years, James Maddison. He's absolutely terrific, full of confidence. I want to tell Derek how to do his job. I think he knows, you know, far better than me how to pick a team. But I would be maybe tempted to play, put Graham Shinney back at left back.
Uh-huh.
He's also got the pace here, and maybe give yourself extra man in midfield with Maddison, Kenny McLean, and probably Ryan Jack.
I must admit, I know McGinn, I think a lot of Aberdeen fans feel McGinn's gone off the boil lately, but I can't look beyond the attacking diamond of Rooney through the middle, Hayes left, McGinn right, and Maddison just behind him. And then, as you have already said, Colin, you've got Kenny McLean also that you could fit in. I mean, there's so many threats there for Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic have got so many threats of their own, but I mean, Aberdeen can count on, like, so Hayes and McGinn, I think they'll definitely start. Those wide open Hampden spaces. You know, pace is such a key asset in the modern game. And Aberdeen have got it in spades with their two wide men, the guys in the middle as well, and Rooney will be the focal point. I think he's a proven big game player, and he scored quite a few goals against Celtic in the past. I think he will definitely start, and you'll probably, as the game goes on and it gets stretched, I think you can see him bringing on like Jaden Stockley, who I quite like, and Wes Burns.
Looking at Celtic, Colin, I mean, suddenly they've got Scott Sinclair, who's a major concern for Sunday. And you know, a nature of an injury so soon to a final, he's got a hamstring strain. Probably your instincts would tell you he's not going to play on Sunday. And if that's the case, massive loss for Celtic.
It would be a huge loss given how well he's done and how many goals he's scored domestically this season. Well, it might just be really sensible management from Brendan Rodgers. The fact he realises he's got a small niggle. The game against Barcelona did look as if it was slipping away. Let's do no chances. You know, the most important thing here is trying to get the first trophy in the cabinet. First part of the treble, let's don't take any chances with him, get him off, get him assessed, get him treatment, and hopefully get him on the pitch. But see, you never know these injuries, you know, if it generally is a tear or a strain, well, I would doubt very much whether 4 or 5 days is going to be enough for him to recover.
Aye, and the gamble, you know, if he gambled, then he pulls up.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
After 5 minutes, you know, suddenly your plans are disrupted.
But I mean, he has got the good thing for Brendan Rodgers, he's got so many other wide options. You know, James Forrest, Patrick Roberts, Griffiths, Dembele, he could play both of them. He's got so many options that he can bring in. So,
who would your money be on as, if indeed Sinclair is confirmed out of the final, who would your money be on as direct replacement wide left?
I think I'd probably go with Roberts.
Yeah. Better balance?
I think, yeah. I mean, he tried Patrick Roberts in the number 10 role against Kilmarnock a couple of weeks ago at Rugby Park. Gave Rogic a bit of a rest. And I just thought he looked a little bit lost in that role. I just didn't think he quite worked. Just in that number 10, just behind the strikers, whereas if you put him out wide, I think he's a winger all day, you know, all day long in my book, and I think that's where he does his best work. He's got the pace, another confident guy, he's not scared to take people on, commit defenders, and that's what you want to do, and if you're prepared to do that at Hampden, then you can get your rewards.
I mean, against Barcelona, Callum McGregor was a surprise starter on the other flank. Do you see McGregor keeping his place, or do you envisage James Forrest, to be fair, played well when he came off the bench against Barcelona. Could you see Forrest maybe now coming in to start on Sunday?
I think Forrest will start. I think Forrest will start on the opposite flank. I'm pretty sure he will. He's been really, really consistent this season. It's the best we've seen James Forrest for a couple of years. Brendan seems to be able to get the best out of him. Yeah, he's been really productive. And you mentioned Callum McGregor turning out to be one of the most versatile players in that Parkhead squad.
Yeah.
You know, the week before at Kilmarnock, played left back, and I thought he was one of the best players on the pitch. Really, really solid performance at left back. He's over the right, he's played, you know, probably prefers to play in the middle. You know, he's just a cracking, good old round player to have in your squad.
Without a doubt, yeah, and a good lad to boot as well. From our point of view, he's always the first in a mix zone. So, long may that continue. I mean, the other big issue for Celtic, I would have thought, is the central defence. Jozo Simunovic finally makes his Champions League debut against Barcelona. Personally speaking, I thought it was a bit shaky at first. The first goal, he was maybe a bit statuesque, but he improved. And him and Erik Svechenko, I actually think, look a nice natural partnership. Do you envisage them staying together for Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, if Colaturi's not fit, then they probably will stay together. Simunovic is good, but he seems very, very fragile. You know, he's one of these guys, you know, he's finding it so difficult to keep fit. He's obviously got a problem, an underlying issue there with his knees, so it's hard for him to play 2 and 3 games a week. But he certainly looks their best option when fit, and I agree, you know, he seems to dovetail well with Svechenko. Whether the game comes too soon for him, we don't know, but I'm sure he would certainly rather have Simunovic rather than Dedryck Boyata at the heart of his defence against Aberdeen, given how quick the Aberdeen front and wide guys can be.
It's funny, I mean, traditionally we're used to a striking partnership of big guy and wee guy, but here we have a central defensive partnership of big guy and wee guy. You know, they just look a natural partnership. I don't know if it's just a kind of, they can read each other's game. Svechenko, I thought, played particularly well against Barcelona. He particularly seems to be blossoming under Brendan Rodgers.
He's been very good, and he is, as you mentioned, very small for a central defender, but he's pretty good in the air.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't lose many high balls, and he's also possesses a real attacking threat. A number of times from set pieces, you see him winning headers and getting on the end of crosses, you know, and scoring a couple of goals. So he has deceptively got a really, really good jump for such a small guy, and Rodgers, you know, seems to like him. You know, he does. He seems to be growing in confidence as the season goes on. He's starting to play the ball out more from the back. You see him trying to go on, you know, mazy runs as well. Yeah, no, he's. I think he'll be one of the first names on the team sheet.
Time to put you in the spot, Colin. Do you see this game being won in 90 minutes? Do you see extra time, penalties indeed? Who ultimately is going to win this?
Yeah, I can actually see the match going to extra time. Wouldn't it be surprised me if it went to penalties. You know, I've got a sneaking feeling Aberdeen actually might do it. Mm. I think it'll be very, very, very tight. And I think the key to Aberdeen winning is trying to keep it tight. If they don't concede in the first half, I think Aberdeen confidence will grow as the game goes on. If Celtic score first, then I think Celtic will win the game.
I think a big factor, and credit to Derek McInnes, because I thought he did a good job for his club. You know, I think 4 or 5 days prior to the ticket allocations being confirmed, you know, he banged the drum about a 50-50 split with the tickets, and subsequently got his way. And I think that's potentially another big factor for Aberdeen, I think, on Sunday. They're going to come out and there's an equal share of supporters.
Well, unless it's an Old Firm final or semi-final, you very, very rarely get a 50-50 split, because the Old Firm is, you know, normally a smaller club and having to get the fan base to sell out their allocation, as we've found in the last two, three, four cup finals. This time Aberdeen, quite rightly so, have got the 50-50 split. I think their cause was helped by the final three seasons ago when they played Inverness at Celtic Park, and I think they sold 40,000 tickets.
Sensational.
So they had a, you know, cast iron case to put forward to the SFA when it came to fighting their corner to get a fair split, and that's the right way to go. You know, they sell out their allocation 50-50, so it'll be a great atmosphere, and hopefully we'll get a great final.
Keep bang up to date with Scottish football by following SunSport on Twitter.
We've got a reduced Premiership card on Saturday, Colin. Dundee Inverness, Hearts Motherwell, Partick Thistle Rangers, Ross County Hamilton. Particular game stand out for you there?
Well, the Partick Thistle Rangers game's the first, you know, the early kick-off, 12:15 on Saturday. That's where I'll be heading, and it's another big game for him. You know, Rangers have just been struggling. They just can't seem to put teams away just now this season. You know, dominating possession. I'm something like 75% possession, which is absolutely incredible. But yet, drawing matches, sneaking 1-0 wins last week, it was the same against Mother. You know, they're not converting that possession and their ball superiority into goals, which must be a worry. And I've got a huge, huge couple of weeks coming up. They've got Thistle, then they go to Tynecastle on Wednesday against a really strong physical Hearts team. You know, that's going to be a real challenge for Rangers. I think they've got Hearts again, play Aberdeen, then they've got Hearts again, and I've got an Old Firm game looming. So huge, huge couple of weeks for Mark Warburton and Rangers coming up.
And I was at the game against Dundee at Ibrox last weekend, Colin, and I have to say I got a clear sense that the Rangers fans were not needing much to get on the case of Mark Warburton and Davy Weir. They make a substitution with Josh Windass and get dogs abuse for it.
Yeah, it's the same. It's like watching the same movie, listening to the same record. The same thing's been happening every week. That they have, you know, they're playing some nice football, they're moving the ball about, but teams have kind of cottoned on, they're sitting a bit deeper, they're letting them have the ball because Rangers are not doing enough with it in that final third. That just creative spark and somebody to get on end, it's just not happening often enough. And fans, you can see the frustration growing as week by week. You know, there hasn't been any real radical change to try and move it up, switch it about things. It's this kind of same system, the same way, and we're getting the same results.
There's a Rangers AGM at the Clyde Auditorium on Friday. Dave King back in town, a rare visit, has to be said. What are you envisaging coming out of that, Colin? Do you think that the manager could be facing some difficult questions here, never mind Dave King?
Yeah, listen, you're always going to get, I mean, there'll be an element of the supporters who'll be quite happy with how things are going under Mark Warburton, given how tough a, you know, few years they had before he arrived at the club. You know, they'll be prepared to give him cut him a bit of slack, given the fact he's changed ethos at the club, he managed to win them promotion last season, they're back in the top flight. You know, there'll be people willing to accept it is going to take, you know, there's no magic wand. You know, Rangers are going to take time, as Ali McCoy said, as Walter Smith came out recently and said, it is going to take 3-4 years. Rangers are not going to be back challenging Celtic this season, probably not next season. You know, it's a long-term project. But as we all know, Derek, you know, patience is not the biggest virtue of Old Firm supporters. Never has been and never will be. And they expect him to be challenging closer to Celtic. They expect him to be better than Aberdeen. They expect him to be better than Hearts. And so far this season, you know, they haven't been. You know, they haven't been winning games that they should be winning.
You mentioned magic wands. I thought it was noticeable last weekend that there wasn't too many songs about magic hats. That seems to have died down a bit, Colin, which I find interesting. I have a certain sympathy for Mark Warburton, but I mean, it's like, you know, this is Rangers. This is the expectations. Well, you know, there's no room.
Old Firm and any manager, the bottom line is they're judged on results. They're judged on victories. And when you look down the games that Rangers have played this season, there's not been enough victories.
Like SunSport on Facebook for all the Scottish football latest.
William Hiller are the kind sponsors of the SunSport podcast, and we're very grateful to them. And of course, we have the William Hill Scottish Cup third round this weekend. And there are a fair few ties, Colin, that look treacherous, to say the least, for the senior teams here. Let me just go through a few of them. Beath Morton, Bonnyrigg Rose, Dumbarton, Bucky, Dunfermline, Fermartin versus Annan, St Mirren, Spartans. Now, do you think there's any St Mirren fans that would be maybe looking forward to that one, Colin? Even though it's at home?
I'm not sure if St Mirren fans are looking forward to any match and the way things are going for them just now, you know. You're talking about treacherous ties. I mean, the weather's treacherous. That's the one dampener we could have this weekend, with the weather and the cold snap, that, you know, whether so many of these ties are going to go ahead, you know, if the big, you know, thaw doesn't arrive. You know, it's expected to be -4 in the next couple of nights. So, I mean, it could be a shame that a lot of these ties are not going to go ahead because of the weather. But, you know, fingers crossed, and, you know, they pull out the stops, the sun comes out and manage to thaw the pitches out, and we can get some action. But
mind you, there'll be major heat in Jack Ross if he loses this one.
I mean,
there's no exactly been a bounce effect since he came in.
No, he has me. But I mean, you look at the couple of managers before him. Since Jack, you know, he's another. It's there's
just a malaise at the club.
They're generally. You can't put my finger on what is wrong, but there's something inherently wrong at St Mirren just now. Because when you look at their squad on paper, it's not too bad a squad. They've got some experienced guys like Andy Webster in there. You know, some old heads who've been around the block. You've got some decent young players in there as well, you know, and guys on loan from Rangers and Ryan. You know, you look and think that's quite a good, strong squad for the Championship, yet they're completely detached at the bottom of the table and no sign of any improvement.
I mean, Ian Murray looked a good young manager until he went to St Mirren, and it damaged them. And, you know, again, the both of us have, you know, got a lot of time for Jack Ross. And it seems to be going the same way for Jack as well, you know? It's a shame.
You can chart it back. It seems from the moment, I think it was Gary Teal was in charge, and if memory serves me correctly, they sold Kenny McLean. They were fighting for their lives to stay in the SPL, as it was. And in the January transfer window, I think the last day, they sold Kenny McLean to Aberdeen. And I mean, it was like, you know, it was the wind out the sails, you know, it was almost given up, you know, as if they knew that it was just the chances of staying in the top flight were gone the moment they did that. And I don't think they've ever recovered from that moment. It's just been negativity and downhill all the way ever since. You know, they were relegated, haven't even come close to getting back up. And now they're in real, real danger of dropping into League One. A club like St Mirren, who were, you know, we're talking about League Cup finals at the start of the programme. I mean, 3-4 years ago, they were beating Hearts to lift the trophy with Danny Lennon in charge. I mean, Danny Lennon seems an absolute eternity ago. I mean, it just shows you how quickly things can deteriorate in football if your club's not run properly.
Colin, as always, thank you for your excellent opinion and analysis, and thank you also to podcast sponsor William Hill. Thanks very much.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.